My name is Scott Heemstra. I'm on staff with the Navigators. If you don't know who the Navigators are, we are a worldwide ministry that shares the gospel of Jesus through life-to-life discipleship. My wife Paige and I, we moved here 4 years ago. We're the directors of the Navs. And when I remember when I moved here, even as Seth just said, I remember telling the students, I believe that God is going to use Cedar Rapids, Coe College, Mount Mercy University, and Kirkwood Community College to change the world for His glory and for His gospel. And that's what we've been praying for, and that's what we've seen start to happen. We've started with zero students when we moved here, and now we have 50 to 75 students connect with us consistently. Last year, we had 17 students come to Christ and begin to grow in Him. So we are excited for what God is doing. On the screen, there's a picture of my wife and I. Her name's Paige. We've been married for 5 years. And then we have a 15-month-old son, Caleb, and he is awesome. He is so fun. His little personality is starting to come out, and he is an independent and stubborn little boy. He likes to do his own thing, and he loves jumping on the couch, which is not safe. But we are having fun with him. So if you want to learn more about our ministry, Paige and I will be back on Main Street at a table. So we would love for you to stop back by and meet us. We'd love to tell you more of what God is doing in this city on the college campuses. We are excited, and we want to invite you. Would you be praying for the college students? They'll be moving back in just a few weeks, and we're going to be meeting hundreds to thousands of college students and get the opportunity to share the gospel with them. And so every year we see students trust Christ in just the first few weeks and begin to get into Bible studies. So would you be praying for that? It is a privilege to be able to open the Word of God with you guys this morning. Thank you, Seth. Thank you, pastors, for allowing me to preach. I've spent many hours with Seth over the last 4 years. And we are blessed. We are privileged as a church family, aren't we? To have pastors, to have staff who love us, who share the Word with us, who shepherd us. So thank you, pastors. Thank you, Seth, for just laying your life down for us, for giving your time for us to know Jesus more. So this morning, if you could ask God for one thing, what would you ask Him for? If you could ask God for the greatest desire on your heart, what would it be? What is it that you desire? What would you ask God for? A desire is a strong feeling of wanting to have something. So what is that for you? For most of us, our desires change throughout the day. So if I'm sleepy, man, I desire to take a nap. If I'm hungry, I want pizza. If I'm sick, man, I want to be healthy. Earlier this summer, I had vertigo, and so the whole world was spinning around me when I opened my eyes. All I could do was lay down for a few days. And all I wanted in that time, my greatest desire at that time, was for the world to stop spinning. So our desires change depending on our circumstances. So what do you ask God for? What do you desire? There can be a lot of things. And so this morning, if you could ask God for one thing, what would you ask Him for? There's an illustration that I really love. I was recently reminded of it. It's from the book, The Fuel and the Flame, by Steve Shadrach. And so on the screen, there's a box. And this is a simple question for us. What's in the box? So I encourage you on your piece of paper, if you have a piece of paper, to draw a box. It can be a small box, it can be a big box. But the question is, what's in the box? This is your box. This is the box of your life. In this box is what's at the center of your life. Steve Shadrach says this: there can only be one thing in the box, one priority that is the most important one in your life. The obsession that controls and dominates everything else. The preeminent thing around which everything else will flow from. What is it? What's in the box? Whatever is our one thing, that becomes the grid in which everything else in our life is filtered through. Everything else in our life flows from. And so this morning, we're going to continue our series through the Psalms. We're looking at prayers to God. Psalms is a book of prayers. We're going to see people, we're going to see David crying out to God, pouring his heart out to God in Psalm 27. So this is King David in the midst of a terrible circumstance. We're going to see him in the midst of fear, danger, trouble. We're going to see what the greatest desire of his heart is, what his one thing is. We're going to see what's in his box. and how that influences how he responds. So spoiler alert, David's one thing is that he wants God. He wants to be with God. He wants to dwell with God. He wants to be in God's presence. He wants to know God. Even at the expense of his life, possibly, he wants to know God. That's David's one thing. What's in our box? And so this morning, we're going to see that we should make God the one thing we desire. Make God the one thing you desire. We're going to see that we do that in any circumstance. Make God the one thing you desire because he is your victory and security. Make God the one thing you desire because God changes your daily responses. Make God the one thing you desire by asking and seeking him. We're going to see all of that this morning. So we are in Psalm 27. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, or a Bible on your phone, go ahead and open to Psalm 27. I want to encourage you to take notes. We believe that all scripture is breathed out by God, and it's profitable. It's useful for us. So we believe that when we open this book, that God speaks. So let's be ready and attentive to hear from God this morning. I'm going to read Psalm 27, and I'll pray for our time. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O God, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word, Lord, we ask you to speak to us. Lord, will you open our hearts, will you open our eyes to see your truth, to see your gospel greatly on display in this passage. Lord, we ask for your spirit to convict us, to move us. Lord, will you lead us to seeing you as the one thing that we desire. Amen. So make God the one thing you desire in any circumstance. This psalm was written by David, and King David is in an absolute mess. Look at verses 1 through 3. In here, we see that David, it says he's fearful. He said, whom shall I fear? He could be afraid. He says that there is evildoers that are assailing him to eat up his flesh. This is terrible. He says, people are coming to eat me. We don't know if that's actually happening. He says he has adversaries and foes. He says an army encamped against me. He has an army encamped against him. He says war arising around him against him. In verse 10, later on, we see that he says his father and his mother forsaken him. And I can't imagine as a young father ever forsaking my son for anything. He says, I have been forsaken. Verse 12, false witnesses have risen against me. They breathe out violence. And he has people spreading lies, spreading rumors, telling falsehoods about him. Now, the Psalms are poetry. And in poetry, you use language to communicate a picture. So we don't know the circumstance that David is in. We don't know if people are actually wanting to eat him, what kind of war is arising against him. But we do know that David is painting a picture for us, a picture of how bleak his life looks, about how much trouble he is in. We do know for a large portion of David's life that he had King Saul pursuing him, that King Saul tried to kill him by pinning him to a wall with a spear, and he tried that twice. We know that he had his own son try to usurp his throne and try to run him out of his own kingdom. So we don't know what David is talking about in the psalm, but we know it's bad. But here in the psalm, we see that David runs. He runs to his one thing. I love verse 4. Look at verse 4. David says one thing. And we get a window into David's heart. We get a window into David's soul. We get to see what is in the center of his life, what's in his box. He says, one thing. One thing have I asked of the Lord. If you could ask God for anything, what would you ask him for? We get to see what David's going to ask God for. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after. He says, if I could give myself to anything, to any one pursuit, and if you could give yourself to one thing, what would you give yourself to? We get to see what David gives himself to. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after. And here's David's answer. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So when David could ask God for anything, what does David ask for? When David can ask for anything, David asks God for God himself. David says, at the expense of my life, even though there's war coming at me, even though people have forsaken me, even though people are lying about me, in the midst of this circumstance, the only thing I want is God. The only thing I want is God. There's nothing else. God is the supreme one that I want. He wants a relationship with God. He wants to dwell with God. He wants to be in his presence. He wants to gaze upon God. He wants to look at the beauty of God. How many things do we think are so much more beautiful than God? And David wants to look at his majesty, his glory, his holiness. He wants to be with God. And this is so much different than I feel like how I respond in times of trouble. Oftentimes in my circumstances, big circumstances, little circumstances, God is the last thing on my mind. So I want to share with you guys just a quick illustration from this past week of a circumstance that happened to me. So a week ago Friday, it was that really hot day. I think it was like close to 100 degrees. I think it was like 1,000% humidity. You remember that day? It felt like you had to swim through the air. I came home from being on campus, and I walk into the house, and the house just feels stale. It's kind of hot. It's kind of humid. I asked my wife, Paige, about, you know, is the air conditioning on? She said it's been running all day. And I'm like, if the air conditioning is running all day, why is it so humid in here? And so I know nothing about air conditioners, but I'm like, I'll go see if I can fix this. And so I walk outside, and I go to our air conditioner, and I look at the air conditioning unit that's outside, and the pipe that runs from the air conditioning unit up into the house, it had ice forming all around it, right? I'm sitting here thinking, this isn't good. It's like 100 degrees out. How in the world is there ice? So this can't be good. And so I go inside, I shut off the air conditioning, and I do a quick Google search, because that's what we do, and I quickly find out that I could have a major problem, but there's definitely something wrong. And so here is the time that in our circumstances, that trouble comes, right? Fear, this feeling like there's a war all around me, this feeling of anxiety. So in this moment a week ago, you know, I'd spent a little bit of time that day working on this sermon, looking at Psalm 27, thinking about this one thing I desire. Where do I go? Do I run to God like David? Nope. Guess where I go? I go to stress, worry, anxiety. I feel like I've got to fix this. I got to figure out what's wrong with this. Anybody relate to that? And I felt frustrated and anxious all weekend. You know what I did? I think it was like Saturday or Sunday night, because we were waiting till Monday to have somebody come look at it. At like midnight, I couldn't sleep because I was thinking about this darn air conditioner. And I went down to the basement, and I was looking at it, and I spent an hour at like midnight reading and watching YouTube videos of what could be wrong with it. Have you ever done that? Is it just me? On Monday, I had somebody come look at it, and after looking at it, he said that my coolant was a little low, but that this problem might keep happening where it freezes up because the system is so old, and that both probably the air conditioner and the furnace need replaced, and that it's probably going to be really expensive. Like, no. And so as I wrestled through this, I'm getting frustrated, I'm getting anxious, I was fearful of this expense, fearful of providing. So even in this circumstance, you know, it's minor. It's a minor circumstance in the scale of eternity. But even in this circumstance, I'm to make God the one thing I desire? Really? Really? Even as we think about David in the midst of war, like a place, David could actually die. And we see David say that the one thing that he wants is God. Really, David? Why? Why would David say this? Why would we say this in the midst of our everyday circumstances? Why make God the one thing you desire? We make God the one thing that we desire because in him is our security and victory. So look at verse 5. This is coming out of verse 4, and David starts with 4. So this is a connector word. David says, the reason why I say that God is my one thing is because of this. For he will hide me in the shelter, in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. David says that God is his one thing because he knows that in God there is security. The words of security, hide, conceal, lift me up. But not only security, look at verse 6. He says, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. This is a picture of victory. David says, my head is going to be lifted up above my enemies. I'm guessing that David had no idea in his circumstances, how this was going to happen, but he trusted God for this. And how did he do this? How did he go to God as his security, as his victory? David reminds himself of who God is. We see this in verse 1. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You see that? He doesn't fear because he's looking at God as his light and his salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He's not afraid because he's looking to God as his stronghold. He knows there's victory and he knows there's security. We too make God our one desire, the one thing that we want, because in him there is security and victory. We have ultimate security and ultimate victory at the cross. It's been won for us, and we are secure, and we have victory over sin and death because we look to who God is, and we look to who God is as we look to Jesus. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light of the world that shines in the darkness, that never fades, and that gives the light of life to those who follow him. We said that in John 8:12. Not only is Jesus the light, Jesus is the salvation for the world. Jesus is the salvation for the world who came into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Jesus loves the world, and he says that whoever believes in me, trusts in Jesus, and does not perish, but he has eternal life. Jesus is the salvation for the world. Jesus is our light. Jesus is our salvation. Jesus is the stronghold for those in the world. Jesus is a stronghold for those in the world who know his voice and follow him. He knows them. He's the one that gives eternal life. And look at this in John 10:27. He says, no one can snatch them from my hand. If you are in Jesus, he has you in his hand. He says that he's greater than all. Jesus is our light, our salvation, our stronghold. We run to Jesus, and we find that in Jesus that we have ultimate victory, and we have ultimate security at the cross. Love Romans 8:35-39, which describes this victory, which describes this security. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. How often do we get into our situations, into our circumstances, and we think that they are too big for God and that they can separate us from God's love, from eternal security in God, from victory that we have in God, in Christ? We have ultimate security. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, no matter how bad the situation is, no matter if it's small, possibly like an air conditioner. We have ultimate victory because we are more than conquerors. And we know that we have victory over death and over sin at the cross. And so, and in my circumstances, I can look to Jesus. I can look to the cross. So we make God our one thing in any circumstances because he is our victory and our security. The question for us and the question that we should be wrestling with is, how does this actually work itself out in our lives? Man, it's so easy to say, but what does this actually look like? Because guess what? As we make God our one things, it does change our daily responses. So here in Psalm 27, we see David put God at the center. We see David put God in the box of his life, in the center of his life. David says, the one thing I want is to be with God, to dwell with God, because he's running to God as light, as salvation, as stronghold. And it's so interesting. Look at how it impacts his responses. We've already touched on this a little bit, but as David looks at him as light and salvation, he says, I don't fear. He says, don't be afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not fearful. In verse 3, we see David say that he's confident. And how can he be confident with a war around him, with armies coming at him? He's confident. In verse 6, we see him say that he gets to worship with joy. And I will offer in his tent, that's God's tent, sacrifices with shouts of joy. And it affects his prayers. Man, David is dependent on God. He's running to God. He says, God, I want you to hear me. He says, be gracious to me. I need God's grace. We need God's grace every day to remind ourselves of who God is. Answer me, he says. Verse 9, he says, hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. Cast me not off. Forsake me not. He's reminding himself of who God is, and he's seeing people leave him, like he says his father and mother leave him, but he says, the Lord takes me in. He asks God to teach him and to lead him. He's in humble, dependent submission to God. He says, God, I need you to lead me through this. I have enemies all around me, and I need you to lead me. He says, don't give me up. Deliver me. I love this. In verse 13, he declares what he believes about God. He says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe that. And therefore, he says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. So flowing out of who God is and what he will do, it changes how David responds. It causes David not to be fearful, to be confident, to have joy, to pray, to wait. And so for us, when God is at the center of our lives, when God is in our box, when God is the one thing that we want, it does impact how we live. Because whatever's at the center is the grid, it's the filter in which everything else flows. So I want to share with you my filter, my grid, how I do this in my own life. An author I really love, his name is Jerry Bridges. He says it this way, that we are to preach the gospel to ourselves daily. Man, I'm forgetful, and I need to remind myself of the gospel. I need to remind myself of who God is and what he's done. You know what? It's really easy to say, make God your one thing. Sometimes it's really hard to do, and sometimes this takes time. And we need to be reminded. And so I ask myself four questions. I want to share these four questions with you. Who is God? What has he done? Who am I? And what do I do? Who is God? What has he done? Who am I? And what do I do? And so Monday afternoon, as I'm dealing with this air conditioner, the air conditioner guy leaves. And in this moment, I'm frustrated, I'm anxious, I don't know what to do. He's going to get me quotes later. And I begin to preach the gospel to myself. And I begin to remind myself of who God is. And I use this passage, who is God? He is my light. He is my salvation. He is my stronghold. So he's the one I can run to. I also love two other places. I love that God is good. Man, we have a good Father who loves us. God is good. I also go a lot to God as provider. God provides for me. How do I know these things? I look to the cross. I look to what God has done. God sent Jesus to live a life that I couldn't live. Jesus lived a completely sinless life that I could not live. I sin every single day. We sin every single day. And Jesus went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. Jesus died for us in the place that we should have died. God provided a way for me to know him, to have a relationship with him, to have eternal security in him through Christ. God has sealed an eternal inheritance in heaven for me in Christ. So who does that make me? As we continue through these questions, who does that make me? I'm loved, I'm provided for, I'm secure in Jesus. I have victory. I have victory not only of sin and death, but I know, you know what? Even if I don't feel like I have victory over an air conditioner, I know that I have ultimate victory secured in Christ. So then what do I do? How does this actually impact me? As I remind myself of the gospel and as I walk through this, I have peace and I have joy. I can have joy and peace in this circumstance because my joy and peace is not in this circumstance. It's secured in Christ. Do you see that? It's secured in Christ for who his joy. In Christ's joy, he actually went to the cross for us. And in John 15, Jesus says that in him is fullness of joy, and he wants to give us full joy. I don't have to fear, because I know God is in control. Because you know what? God was in control when Jesus died on the cross. It wasn't an accident. I don't have to be overwhelmed. I can be confident like David, because my confidence isn't in myself, isn't in my circumstances, it's in the Lord. He's taken care of me for eternity. I think he can take care of me now. And I think this one's the biggest one for me, is that I can be kind and loving to those around me, especially to my family. I can be kind and loving to my wife and my kid. Because as I look to Christ, I see that he was kind and loving for me as he died on the cross for me. And you know what? Not every circumstance gets fixed immediately. I don't know how long David was in this war feeling. And I don't know how long we're going to be dealing with this air conditioner. We don't know what we're going to do with it yet. But as I preach the gospel to myself, as I declare the gospel and the truths about who God is, just like David, and it begins to change how I respond in this circumstance. This isn't just a self-help to a better life and to making yourself feel better. This is actually letting the gospel of Christ wash over you, penetrate deep into your heart, into your soul, and let you actually believe it. Because I'm forgetful, and I forget often the gospel, and I need to be reminded of it. I get stuck in my circumstances, and I begin to let that control me. You know what? It takes time. This took me 3 to 4 days to get to the point where I'm going to actually sit down and process with the Lord. The gospel has something to say about every part of your life. Every part of your life can be taken back to the gospel. So as you make God the one thing you desire in any circumstance, you do that because in Him is victory and security, and because it changes how we respond in our circumstances. So then how do we do that? I look at what David did in the psalm. He asked and he sought. So we ask in prayer. So I want to encourage you to ask God, maybe sometime this week, to take time and ask God to reveal what is your one thing. What is the thing that you go to? Maybe it's multiple things. Maybe it changes throughout the day. Where do you go that begins to be the center of your life, that controls you, that tells you, tells everything else in your life how to act? A few questions to help you identify this is, what have you been praying for? And if we could read a transcript of your prayers over the last month, 6 months, year, what would it say? What would it show is on your heart? What would it show as your one thing? What do you talk about? I notice that what comes out of my mouth is what I'm most excited about. I notice that what comes out of my mouth is the thing that's most on my heart. So what do you talk about? How do you spend your time and your money? These are two resources that God has given us to steward. We're entrusted with these. And as we spend this, as we look at how we spend this, it can reveal what's on our heart. For me, what affects my emotions most reveals what's on my heart, especially in this air conditioner thing. Like, it's really not that big a deal. But I began to get angry, frustrated, anxious, fearful. I was like, oh man, that's becoming the center of my life. So we ask in prayer for God to reveal your one thing. And then ask in prayer for forgiveness. And take this to the Lord and say, Lord, I've been putting this in a place that only you deserve. Ask for forgiveness. Confess it. Repent of it. Turn away from it. Maybe for some of us, it's ask in prayer for the first time for God to be your one thing. Is God your one thing? Do you know this God who is your light, your salvation, your stronghold? Do you know this God who came and lived a life that you can't live and died for you? He's inviting you to trust Him. And it's as simple as saying, Lord, I want you to be my one thing. And then begin to put Him as your one thing and trust Him for that. Say that I know you died for me, and I want to live a life in you. So ask God for the first time, maybe. Ask God in prayer daily for Him to be your one thing. So there was a season in college where I prayed Psalm 27:4 every single day for 4 to 5 months. Because as I looked at my life, what I saw was I did want to desire God. But what I saw just didn't match up. I don't know if you can relate to that. And I had these sin struggles that came back over and over again. I wanted to be in the Bible. I wanted to read the Bible, but I just couldn't make time for it. My mind or my thoughts went to these other things besides God. And so there was a season where I'd pray every single day that God would become my one thing. I'd pray for many other things too. But I'd pray, God, the thing I want most is I want you. Lord, will you change my affections? Will you stir in my heart that I might love you more, know you more, desire you more? So we ask in prayer, and we seek in the Word. God has written a book for us to get to know Him. God is a good Father who wants to know us and wants us to know Him. And He's written the Bible for us to know Him. And so we get to seek Him in the Word. In Psalm 27, God says to David, seek my face. And David says, my heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. And God invites us to seek Him, and we can do that through the Bible. You might be here thinking, I have no idea how to read the Bible. So the question I would have for you is, who can you ask to help you read the Bible? In college, I had a friend that lived in my dorm floor that spent time with me every single day teaching me how to read the Bible. And he poured his life into me so that I could understand the scriptures, so that I could begin doing it myself. A lot of you know how to read the Bible. A lot of you have been reading the Bible for many years. So for you, who can you teach and who can you show how to read the Bible? Maybe you need to ask the Lord for somebody. Maybe you just need to be bold and just ask somebody if you can read the Bible with them. And for most of us, it's hard to do this every day. And I need help. And I think we all need help. So who can keep you accountable? Who can encourage you to do this daily? Who can you ask to do this with? Maybe it's as simple as just a text, sharing a highlight of what you've read. So we want to seek God. He invites us to seek Him. We need to seek Him daily through the Word. And so let's do that together. So what's in your box? You can only have one thing in your box. What is the one thing? Is it God or is it something else? Psalm 27:4. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Let's pray. Father, we praise You. Lord, thank You that You do speak to us. Lord, thank You that we can know You. Lord, forgive us for the times where we make other things our one thing besides You. Lord, will You cause us to want to know You more? Lord, will You help us to make You the one thing, the one desire that's on our heart? Lord, we love You. We praise You. Amen.